Today we're going to talk about prophecy. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are thinking, oh, another sermon about death and dying and horses and disease epidemics and, you know, and wars and, oh no, we're going to go through it again. Well, when we talk about prophecy, that's what we think of a lot of times, although there's a lot of prophecy that's been fulfilled. We go through those passages to show who Jesus Christ is and different things. But when we talk about prophecy, it's not all about the bad news. But that's usually what we zero in on, the bad news. And it's all the bad things that are happening. And right now, there's just an angst in the world because it's unraveled and it's continuing to unravel. More and more, just as a person who loves history, I feel like I'm living in probably about 1930. And people knew something bad was happening, but they didn't know how much the world was beginning to unravel. And of course, you know, by 1939, you have the Second World War going on. And there's a lot that happened in the 10 years before that to create those events. So now he's going to talk about what? World War II? No, well, that's not what we're going to talk about today. You know, it is interesting how many people I've talked to over the years that their experience in the church, and especially now that we have some people that have, they're two and three generations in the church in terms of they were in the church as a child. And they'll talk about how their view of prophecy is, oh no, more gloom and doom that makes me scared. And what it is when we talk about those prophecies, and they're there for a reason, they're to help us visualize what's going to happen. We don't have all the details. So we fill in all the missing details with our own imagination. So there's something powerful about the Bible in that we use our imagination in some ways. And especially true in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament, much of it is actually written as poetry. Even what the prophets talked about. And when you go through there, it's imagery. I mean, if you really study some of the imagery of the Old Testament, it's like a horror movie. If you understood what it really means to in Hebrew, it's absolutely frightening. It's a picture. And not all of it is to be taken literally. And that's the New Testament, too. I mean, at the end, there's some kind of machines that looks like locusts. It doesn't mean there's giant locusts with men driving them, right? There's all this imagery. Well, I want to take our imaginations today and shift it to a little bit later in eschatology. Eschatology is the study of the last things. It's used to mean prophecy that has to do with the end time. So I want to go now, and we're going to take a step and move beyond the time of the four horsemen, beyond the time of the tribulation, and we're going to look beyond that. And we're going to have to use our imaginations a little bit to go through the details. But that is what we need to focus on more than sometimes what we focus on. Because God has given us the gospel, the good news. And a big part of that gospel, the whole heart and core of it is, Christ comes twice. We talk about his first coming all the time. But what is he going to do in his second coming? Well, we all know that. Oh, he's going to establish God's kingdom on the earth. But what does that mean? What does that mean to a devastated world? What does that mean to a world in which has suffered such devastation in terms of sheer numbers of deaths is beyond imagination? Wars, natural catastrophes, disease epidemics, famine, to the point where Christ says if he doesn't come back when he does, no one will live. It's that bad. I mean, that's where we usually stop when we're talking about prophecy, because we say, oh yeah, and then Jesus comes back and saves everything. Well, what does that mean, he saves everything? I mean, what do you do with all these people? What do you do with this world? Well, let's start by going to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. So we're after all the events that we talk about a lot of times. And we know this. But this is where I want to start, because this is the beginning of what we're going to talk about in terms of end time, eschatology, or the end time prophecies. This is after the tribulation. This is when Jesus Christ is returning to set up God's kingdom on the earth. And it says, verse 1, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. So that's later than what we're going to talk about. But we start with Jesus Christ coming back and Satan being removed. And then verse 4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And I saw the souls of those who beheaded for their witness to Jesus, for the word of God, would not worship the beast nor his image, and had received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now we know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that this resurrection includes all the saints that have ever lived, including the Old Testament saints. So they're all resurrected. And this is usually where we stop the discussion, except maybe at the Feast of Tabernacles, where you'll have a sermon, where maybe the passage from Isaiah, where the nature of animals will be changed, and then we get excited because, oh, especially as kids, you know, I can remember as a kid, oh good, I'll get to pet a bear, you know. Never thought much beyond that, like, how do you take care of a bear? You know, that's a lot of work, but, you know, we'll get to pet a bear, it'll be okay. When I was in Australia, I might have told you this. There are kangaroos all over the place in this park. Did I tell you this? Me being me, I said, "Can you pet them? They're wild kangaroos. They're just in a park." And of course, all the ministers said, "Sure." I walked up to this kangaroo that looked absolutely petrified. Of course, you can see how they box. They can kick you to death. I walked up, I'm petting this kangaroo, you know, and I think, man, this is all muscle. And I walk back, and they all eyes are this big, and they said, "We didn't mean it. We didn't know you would actually do it." And I said, "Well, you told me it was okay." You know, no wonder the poor kangaroo was so scared. I mean, I walked up and started petting it, a wild kangaroo. Anyways, I don't know why I told that. I'm getting more and more like Fred Keller's all the time. Usually, see, I put my stories in my notes. He makes fun of me. I'll put tell this story so I don't tell lots and lots of stories. That's not in there. Okay. Now, young people will ask the question, what happens to me? I mean, if Jesus Christ returns and all the baptized people with God's Spirit are changed, what happens to me? You know, am I just left alone on this earth? What happens to me? Well, two things. All those who are changed meet with Jesus Christ, come down to Jerusalem, and they are there in Jerusalem. In fact, it talks about how people can go to Jerusalem and actually see Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean if you're physical, if you've been called by God and you haven't received God's Spirit yet, you know, it doesn't mean you're just left alone on this earth. By the way, you still stay with your family. I mean, your family has a body. It's just not a physical body anymore. It's a spiritual body. You can actually see them. Whereas the real problem is they're spiritual, which means you won't get away with anything. I mean, right? Oh, no. I could fool them a little bit before, but you can't fool them now. But you're not going to be left alone. But even children and younger people who aren't totally, you know, in this journey yet that they're changed, you have a job to do. The saints are going to rule with Christ. What is Christ going to be doing? See, sometimes we don't answer that in great detail. Then what are you going to be doing if you're not changed? Well, you have things you're going to do too. Because he's going to slowly begin to change the world. And I say slowly because it's not going to happen overnight. Decades after he's here, there's still going to be all kinds of problems on this earth. Centuries after he's here, because human nature is still corrupted by Satan. So it's not like, well, Satan's gone, finally, all we have is perfect people. No, Satan's gone. You have, I don't know how many will be left, 1-2 billion Satans. Because they all have Satan's nature. They just have to be converted. They have to go through the process of conversion. How do you do that with people who have no food? How do you do that with people who are dealing with a disease that has killed their whole family and they're the only survivor and they're so sick they can't get out of bed? How do you do that? Well, somebody's got to show up, and somebody's got to help them. And that's what those who are changed into spirit are going to be doing, and that's what those who are still physical are going to be doing. There is no water in many places on the earth at this time. There's no electricity on many places of the earth. There's no school systems anymore. There's no governments in many places. The entire world has degenerated into anarchy, and Christ comes back just before there's nobody left. And so what happens? Now, let's like take a little flight of imagination here. You know, every day I open up my computer, and the first thing I do is I look at what's in my news feed, right? What has popped up, and I get news from all over the place, and it frustrates me. I saw one the other day, headline, that counties that are Republican have a higher mortality rate than counties where people are Democrats. And I said, what? And I read through that. Well, there was no proof, because for one thing, that it would mean that everybody in a county has to be Democrat. Everybody has to be the same health, same age. You know what I mean? Statistically, it's ridiculous. But then the next day, there was one that said that people who live in Democratic counties live longer than people who live in Republican counties. And I looked it up, and it was the same research. They had done one year, and the next year they said, oh, we found out it switched. So whoever, they used it for whatever propaganda purpose they wanted. So I get really, I don't believe anything unless I've been able to find sources I believe, you know, and sources that I think are legitimate, because there's a lot of crazy stuff out there. But every day I try to get some news. What's happening in the world? What's happening in the United States? So let's just take this flight of imagination here. And it's 4 years after Jesus Christ has come back. And you pop open your laptop. What's the news feed you get? By the way, there's no news feeds. There's like no op-ed piece. Jesus doesn't know what he's doing. There's nothing like that on there, okay? Because understand, when Jesus Christ becomes king, oh, people will be offended by this. He will control news. He will control the economic system. I've had people in the church argue that with me. I've got some pretty nasty letters from people because I've said things like that. No, he will not. We're going to have total and complete capitalism. No, you will not. It will not be that way. Total and complete socialism. No, you will not. Jesus Christ will control the economy. Jesus Christ is going to, there's going to be one world religion, one world government. That's the reality. What is that like in this diverse, smashed humanity? With an environment that is so toxic, I don't think people could live in it long. What do you do? So you pop up your, you know, it's 4 years later. And we looked at this scripture, Jesus Christ come back and Satan's gone. Now, let's look at something here. Headlines. Now, I've just taken, these aren't actual headlines. They're just, I took three or four headlines and made one out of it. Okay. Suicide rate skyrocketing. I see a headline like that at least once a week, you know, and it is broken down. Suicide among teenagers skyrocketing. You know, these are the headlines I see all the time. Man who opened fire with a gun at a flea market, and you put anything in there, you know, a bunch of people out in the street, a school, whatever, is declared mentally unfit to stand trial. Safe zones set up in universities because students suffering from anxiety. This is what we read. This is what we hear. Unless you're ignoring this, but you're not. The bottom line is, if you're ignoring it, it's still happening. Now, it's 4 years after Christ comes back. What's going to pop up on your newsfeed? Satan removed. Severe mental illness down by 75%. You say, why is it 100%? We're only 4 years into this, okay? It's probably more like 50%. It's probably not 75%. But there's a healing that's taking place. We are overwhelmed with the level of mental stress and anxiety even the people of God is feeling, right? Well, that's not all going to disappear overnight. But without Satan, it drops dramatically. The mental issues you're having, I'm having, everybody's having, begin to disappear or lessen greatly simply because he's removed, because he affects us. So this is what the headline's going to say. Or how about millions suffering from great tribulation, PTSD, receiving mental and spiritual care? Do you realize what the state humanity's going to be in when Christ comes back? They're all going to be driven. Many of them will be insane. You know, someone asked me the other day, they just watched The Book of Eli. How many have seen the movie The Book of Eli? Fascinating book. I mean, movie. I didn't read the book, but I read the... I actually read the book that The Book of Eli is about, but that's a different story. Only those who have seen it will know what I'm talking about. And they said, do you think it'll be like that? I said, I think it won't get quite that bad because Christ is going to intervene before it is. But yeah, the world's going to go in a bad place. Millions, maybe billions of people that have survived. Children without parents. Who's going to take care of them? Well, you are. You've either been changed as a saint that's been changed, or you're a young person that wasn't quite ready yet. Well, you have a job. Now, you're going to have people tell you what to do. You're not going to be left alone. Like I said, you're not even going to be left without your parents. But you have a job. This week marks the third anniversary of no riots in the world. Remember, we're 4 years later. I figure the first year there were a lot of riots. After that, riots started to be quelled. Okay, so it's, we've gone some time without riots. What happens if we start taking certain scriptures about this time period and comparing what we look at now in the time of the bad news to the time of the good news? Micah. Go to Micah chapter 4. I had fun writing these headlines. I had some pretty wacky ones I had to take out. So I... Remember, we had one of my journalism classes was an entire lesson on how to write headlines. And, you know, my headlines are mainly a lot longer than they're supposed to be. Although I notice on the internet, they don't, it's not the same rules as newspapers. Because you don't have print limitations, you can make that thing as long as you want. So these are, remember, these aren't newspaper, these are headlines for the internet. Now it shall come to pass, this is chapter 4 of Micah, verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house, this means the kingdom, this just, once again, we're talking about Hebrew poetry. The government of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. This government's going to be in charge of all governments. And shall be exalted above the hills. And people shall flow to it. And many nations shall come and say, let us go up to the kingdom of God. Let us go to where Jesus Christ rules. Let us go to Jerusalem. Let us go to those who are following him. For the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go, the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between many peoples and rebuke among nations afar off. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn any war anymore. Now, you hear this, if not during the year, you hear this every year at the Feast of Tabernacles. You're going to hear this read. And we read through it. Okay, all nations shall go. What does that mean? How do we break that down? Think of the devastated world. And what's going to be happening as people are just hopeless? Okay. So what? What are today's headlines? In today's governments, this is one world government. What's today's governments? Here's some headlines. United Nations meet to deal with climate change. EU meets to deal with economic downturn. OPEC meets to discuss oil prices, and every week there's somebody meeting someplace to, you know, some business leaders, bankers, politicians, everybody's meeting someplace to fix everything, and nothing gets fixed, does it? Nothing ever gets solved. This is what happens every day in the world you and I live with. Lots of meetings. What would the headlines look after Jesus comes? Representatives from Jerusalem meeting with the last Buddhist in Japan. That may be one of you. When Christ says, there's still 300 million Buddhists. Well, probably not that many in Japan left after everything. There's still 300,000 Buddhists left in Japan. You need to go talk to them. Headline. Representatives from Jerusalem goes talk with the Buddhist. Okay. You think, but you know, this may take 50 years, 100 years. As people, because why should they believe anything? Their lives have been devastated. Every God they ever believed sure didn't work out for them, did it? Their children died, their houses burned. What is purpose, is there? Representatives from around the globe, now we got people coming into Jerusalem, meeting in Jerusalem to receive the Ten Commandments. You know, you say, well, they're going to be taught all the law of God. You know how simple this is going to be? Don't kill. This is how you start. So now you have representatives coming from all over the world. And, you know, I know this is my imagination. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to happen exactly like this. But things like this are going to have to happen. They have to come to Jerusalem to meet Jesus Christ. And first thing is, here's 10 laws. We'll give some more for you later. Go back and get your people to do this. And this person over here is going to go with you. Oh, well, it took me 3 months, you know, to get here because there's not too many gas stations left. Oh, don't worry. He'll be there in 2 seconds. He'll be there before you ever get there. In fact, why did you just carry him? I don't know if he would go that far. He'd probably make them stay in the physical world. They have to stay in the physical world. The saints won't be in the physical world. But he will keep them there. He won't put them in a fantasy world. They have to deal with the reality of the world that they lived in. Christ launches massive rebuilding projects that will take centuries to complete. It will take centuries. You won't have the population to rebuild the world. And they're going to rebuild their physical world. It'll take centuries to rebuild the physical world. Because the population is going to be so decimated that there'll be entire parts of the globe where there won't be any left. Or there'll be little tribes living in the Stone Age that Christ might finally send somebody to, what, 50 years after he's here? Yeah, we've got 30 people living in the Philippines on this lone island. They speak a language nobody knows, because there are islands in the Philippines where they speak very unique languages. And you got to go talk to those people. And they're living in the Stone Age. Because electricity was gone, everything was gone that they knew, and that's where they are. Rebuilding the world is an enormous challenge. But remember, Christ is going to do it. It says he's going to do it. But we get to participate in that. We get to participate in that. This is what we should look forward to. Although it's difficult to do at times. Then he said that they will no longer have any war. And of course we know that statue, that famous statue in front of the UN with a man beating a sword into a plowshare, taken from these verses. Now what does it look like today? Well, South Korea, now these are not real headlines, but they're taken from real events from this week. South Korea wants nuclear weapons to stop North Korea's aggression. Pentagon estimates as many as 50,000 dead so far in the Russian-Ukrainian war, and it's only a little over 100 days long. Welcome to European war. Because in European war, everybody has equipment, and everybody knows how to use it. This isn't Afghanistan. This isn't Vietnam. This is what happens in European wars. China planning to invade Taiwan. And I could go on and on. There was a border clash between India and Pakistan here a few weeks ago. Just on and on and on. What happens when Christ starts to stop war? Well, the first thing he has to do is kill millions of people that have come to fight against him. That's the first thing he does. As sad as that is, the Prince of Peace has to kill people because they're there to destroy him. Of course, they can't. But think about what the world's going to be like. What will headlines look at 4 years later? A problem remains. Junkyards of old war equipment. The whole world's going to be covered with just junk. burn up tanks, blown up airplanes, all over the place. Well, we created some junkyard to throw this stuff into. War breaks out on the border of China and Mongolia. Representatives from Jerusalem show up in 5 seconds, 2 men injured. They were the warlords. I just, in my mind, yeah, we beat up on a little, okay? Yeah, the war was stopped. The two generals were slightly injured. Well, they were blind for a half hour until they repented, and then we let them have their sight back, okay? Well, this is one of the goofy ones I left in. Startup company turning APCs into farm equipment. And, you know, armored personnel carriers. You know, they're taking armored personnel carriers and they figured out we could turn these into tractors. So they're making some money at this. I only do this because I want you to start thinking about the enormity of the good news and all these people and our calling to be prepared for this. You and I aren't being prepared to just survive the tribulation. Now, part of the church is protected during the tribulation. We know that. Part of it isn't. But you know, that's not our purpose. I wish I could say our purpose is all of us get to be saved from the tribulation, but I can't say that. But I do know this. Our purpose is to be prepared for this, whatever God has in store for us. And this has to become real to us because you know what we've done? We've taken the prophecies about the great tribulation. We've taken the prophecies about the four horsemen and we've made them real in our minds. But we haven't made this as real as it's supposed to be. The whole Feast of Tabernacles is supposed to make this real. Interesting, we have the Feast of Trumpets that has to deal with all the bad stuff, and then Christ comes back, so it's the bad and the good. And all the time that's supposed to teach us about the good, and yet we think and remember the bad. Right, because it scares us. Well, this is what we're looking forward to. Another scripture, Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. We just have a couple more I want to go through, and then we'll take our break. And I want to continue to discuss some of this, some other scriptures about the millennium at the Bible study. But you know what I'd like to have you do? Think up of a headline of what might pop up on your computer 4 years after Christ's return. And then I'll ask anyone who wants to share that. Okay? Think up of a headline. I turned on my computer today, and you know what happened in the world today? It won't be Russia invaded Ukraine. It might be a couple warlords on the border of Mongolia and China got into it, but it got stopped. What is it? What good thing is going to be happening because Christ is reigning on the earth? Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Of course, the whole first part of this chapter is about the return of Jesus Christ and coming down because all the nations have been gathered against Jerusalem and he stands on the Mount of Olives there. And then verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So after Christ has finally set up the kingdom, all peoples, and I don't know if it'll be every person on the earth, there'll be representatives from every people on the earth. I mean, Jerusalem can't hold. What if there's 1 billion people left? You can't get 1 billion people there. But there'll be representatives, and anybody close by will come. They're going to come, keep, and they'll be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles at different places throughout the world. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King and the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. If the family, he doesn't say the family won't, he just uses an example. Because, well, we could see Egypt doing this. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. And they shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It only takes 3 years and they finally give up. This is 4 years later, okay? So we're looking 4 years after this, or after Christ comes back. What's today's headlines? Egypt moving towards radical Islamic rule. Well, they've been going back and forth for years with that. The nation of Israel preparing for war with Islamic neighbors. Well, they've been doing that since 1948, and they've been fighting wars with their neighbors since 1948. Hindus and Muslims fighting in India. Well, they've been doing that for a couple hundred years. But those are things that keep popping up all the time. You know, these headlines I made up here, I could have done this 20 years ago, and they've been the same headlines. Same headlines. What's it going to be like 4 years after Christ returns, and after he says we have to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and after maybe Egyptians, maybe Muslims, maybe Hindus, atheists say, no, we're not going to keep it. Okay. Mayor of Jerusalem preparing for a much larger crowd at the feast this year. Because it's the fourth year, remember? Egypt selecting representatives for this year's feast in Jerusalem. Renewed rains in Egypt, desert blooming. Right? Because they've had 3 years of absolute drought after going through the Great Tribulation. Egypt it's not going to be a great place to live. Because the effects of the Great Tribulation is going to continue until they finally agree to submit to Jesus Christ. See, it can't happen overnight. Or you're taking away people's free choice. So we'll be struggling with these things for a long time. Now let's go to Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8. Verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion with great zeal. With great fervor I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion, which means Jerusalem, and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain, the government of God, the holy kingdom of God is going to be there. And notice what he says about Jerusalem, which is going to be what this culture is going to have to go out over the entire world. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. It's a safe place. Now, that safe place after the horrors of the Great Tribulation isn't going to happen in 2 weeks. There's places all over this world that it may not happen, like I said, for decades. Maybe a couple generations. As people have to learn a whole new way. And children are born into this new way. Satan's not there, but Satan's influence on humanity is still there. What's our headlines today? Another mass shooting at a grade school. I mean, it's getting to the place, it's insane, right? Well, the first one was insane. It just keeps going on and on. The worst killing of children at a grade school actually happened over 100 years ago in the United States. Didn't use a gun, he used a bomb. Blew up a grade school. Because he was mad because they had raised these taxes. And he just went nuts because he was going to lose his farm. So he blew up the grade school over school taxes. And it was full of children. Crime up, people prisoners in their own homes. Crime has gone up dramatically in the last 3 or 4 years. Just dramatically. How about this one? It's my body, abortion is a fundamental right. Those are headlines I've been reading a lot lately. It's my body. You can't take this away from me. You are a fascist if you do. Read an interesting article this week as I was working on this on what is a fascist. Went through Mussolini as the founding of the first fascist party, Adolf Hitler. Went through what they believed and everything. And then said, here's how you know people are fascist. And right towards the top was they are anti-homosexual, anti-transgender. they are fascist and they must be treated and fought like fascist. In other words, it's okay to kill them. Yeah, this was in the United States. Okay, this is what we read today. How about this? New school system based on the Bible instituted now and over half the world. We're only 4 years in. Old world leading evolutionists say, boy, were we wrong. Nuclear family reestablishes bedrock of society, birth rate up. Worldwide crime down 79%. Christ tells saints, we still have a lot of work to do. 79% is not an acceptable number. And that's probably a low number. 4 years in, I'm sure there's still lots of crime going on someplace. It's a lot of work to do. But notice how good this is. Everything's going down, not up. Everything has moved in a whole different direction as humanity learns a whole new way. This is what we've been called to. One last scripture. Amos. Amos chapter 9. And verse 11. And this passage is about the, once again, it's about how Israel will be restored, but then the whole world will be restored. Verse 11 says, on that day, I will raise up, this is God speaking, up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and repair its damages, and I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the old days. Verse 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountain shall drip with sweet wine and all the hills shall flow with it. Now, what does that mean? I mean, once again, it's Hebrew poetry. It means the growing seasons will be so wonderful that you can't even harvest before it's time to plant the next one. You'll be still harvesting barley when you should have the wheat in. And you're going to look at your peach trees and your cherry trees and your grapevines and say, I can't harvest all this. Even with the people I employ, I can't keep up with what the ground is producing. That's what that means. Can't keep up with it. God is going to heal the earth. God's going to heal it. When Christ comes back, the first thing he does is a river of water comes out to heal the earth. It comes from the Mount of Olives. He has to heal everything. Everything will be contaminated and destroyed and polluted. So what did our headlines look like now? Severe drought devastating farms in the western half of the U.S. War in Ukraine will cause hunger for millions, and it will. It'll be hard this summer. If it goes on, which it could, next summer will be devastating. We'll have millions of people without food. Supply chain breakdown causing food shortages. Every time my wife goes shopping, she comes in, and I sit there and I wait for it. You can't believe it. There were shelves with nothing on it. You know, or she comes in excited. Oh, you know that organic oatmeal that we buy, yeah? Well, all the oatmeal was gone except 6 cans of this organic oatmeal. So I have all 6 of them. Oh, no. 6 of them. Yeah, that's like oatmeal every day for 2 years. I didn't make that up. Supply chain breakdown causing food shortages. What do the headlines look 4 years after Christ comes back? Christ heals the earth. Pollution disappearing. Soil producing yields not seen since the Garden of Eden. Temperature is normal. No earthquakes, hurricanes, or tornadoes since Jesus became the king. Oh, there's going to be rainstorms and things, but there's not going to be the devastation. Supply chain problems, so much food, stores are overstocked. That's the supply chain problems we'll be in. Jerusalem enacts laws giving all people land ownership, instituting land Sabbaths in the Jubilee year. Everybody will be given land. Every person will be given land. That's the way to fight poverty. And you can grow anything on that land. You say, well, I don't want to grow food. Well, okay, you can buy food. But you know, it's not that hard to grow food if you have the right land and take care of yourself and still have your other job. If you're growing your own food, it's not like that's going to take all your time. So why would I be an engineer? You can be an engineer, but you're going to have land, which means you don't have to pay somebody a huge amount of money. What is it in New York City? A 300 or 400 square foot apartment in Manhattan could be $3,000 a month. You won't be doing that. You won't have to do it. And there will be land Sabbaths in the Jubilee year, which stops the cycle of inflation, and it stops the cycle of people being in debt and ruining their lives. Jubilee year is an amazing thing in the Bible. And that's all going to be instituted during that time period. Everything's going to be changing. I don't even know what money will mean. I mean, there'll be some kind of currency, but I don't know what that means. Maybe we'll all have to have gold and silver pieces. I have no idea what money means then, because they'll have to have currency. There's no, that's not wrong. But, you know, we won't have to say in God we trust, because that's the only trust you'll have. This is the, we have to use, like we use our imaginations when it comes to the tribulation. We have to understand, we have to look at these scriptures, which are built in imagery for a purpose, for a reason. It's they're supposed to, in our minds, we're supposed to be seeing people shove the people. You can't keep harvesting. We have to plant the next crop. And well, we can't help it. We can't get it up fast enough. That image is supposed to be there in your head to make you see something. That's how much food there'll be. That's how easy it will be to grow food. I almost put best beef in world coming from India. See, you didn't get it. Hindus don't eat beef, okay? So I was like, that's why they have all those cows just running around in India. You know, India's economy jumps up from beef sales. But I thought, no, I better not do that. And judging from your response, it's good I didn't. But I just did. Okay. We're just imagining a little bit the good news. That's all we're doing.